Welcome to KG News Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, June 16th of 2022. I'm your host, Alexis Kenyon. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, Boulder's Jewish Community Center celebrates Pride Month by bringing together gospel and klezmer music. This time on the Cannabis Report, Leland Rucker attended a medical marijuana conference over the weekend and shares what he heard from the doctors, nurses, and researchers at the event. And as always, we have John Lundorf in studio to serve up some local food news. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then Rosanna Longo-Better will be in for a trends panel discussion. At 9:30, Shauna Sprouls will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead, but first these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Christian Gedebai.
New data from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment Healthy Kids Survey found that nearly 40% of youth are experiencing depression. That's a 5% increase over last year. Self-reported substance abuse, which includes alcohol, marijuana, and prescription drugs, decreased significantly this year. LGBTQ youth reported significantly higher suicidal thoughts and actions than their heterosexual and cisgender peers. The survey examines the overall health and well-being of the youth and takes data from across the entire state of Colorado. This year, the CDPHE examined more than 100,000 responses to the survey. Some of the data that it used in the survey has to do with issues like substance abuse, access to substances, percentage of kids that felt depressed, and other points. Last year, Children's Hospital Colorado declared a state of emergency for pediatric mental health. While many state and local governments have allocated funds for pandemic mental health, Colorado ranks at the bottom in national surveys of mental health services availability. A new deal struck by the United States and Japan will help Colorado export its beef over to Japan. KGNU's Nathan Merrill has more.
The new deal reduces risk for beef producers by putting new parameters on the tariffs. According to the Colorado Sun, about a quarter of the nation's beef exports go to Japan, which is Colorado's fourth largest trading partner of beef, with an estimated $170 million worth of beef exports last year. The new trade deal limits Japan's ability to increase tariff and helps the U.S. exporters compete with the Australian beef market, who has lower tax rates. Asian countries demand cuts of beef that are hard to sell in the U.S. Colorado cattle producers sell about 95% of the short plate, or belly of the cow, to Asian countries. For KGNU, I'm Nathan Merrill.
Nonprofit organization Tiyuspaye Winyanmaka and Lakota elder Christina Ayala will host a reemergence encampment this weekend in Fort Collins. The encampment will both celebrate the Lakota and share the knowledge and wisdom of other indigenous people. The 3-day event will include workshops and presentations about indigenous arts, medicine, and agriculture. Some of the guests include international spoken word poet Lila June and documentary filmmaker Quincy Davis, and many more. The camping ground will provide tent space and portlets, but not portable water containers and camping gear. The Tiyuspaye Winyanmaka organization will hold the opening ceremony this afternoon at 5 p.m. Boulder County public health officials have confirmed that a bat found in Longmont's Thompson Park last weekend has tested positive for rabies. City and county health officials captured the bat after residents called with concerns about their pet having come into contact with it. Rabies is an infectious disease that affects the nervous system. The BCPH recommends that people take precautions when recreating outdoors by not interacting with wildlife that may have rabies. These include bats, skunks, raccoons, and foxes. Pet owners are also encouraged to keep their pets' vaccinations up to date. The Colorado Avalanche won the first game of the Stanley Cup Finals. KGNU's Jimmy Searfoss has more.
Denver fans were going insane last night after the Colorado Avalanche took the first game in a best-of-four series against the defending back-to-back champion Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-3. The Avalanche took an early 3-1 lead in the first period, but the Lightning would claw back into the game and tie it in the second. The third period saw no scoring, and it only took 83 seconds into the sudden-death overtime for the Avalanche's own Andrei Burkanovsky to score the game-winning goal. The Avalanche are now just 3 games from their first Stanley Cup final since 2001. Game 2 takes place here in Denver at the Ball Arena Friday night at 6 o'clock. For KGNU, I'm Jimmy Searfoss.
Boulder's population shrinks as Longmont's grows. KGNU's Kiara Damari has more.
the population size of Longmont is poised to overtake that of Boulder. U.S. Census data shows Longmont crossed the 100,000th mark between April of 2020 and last year. The Daily Camera reports Boulder remains the most populated city in Boulder County. However, its population declined by around 4,000 residents. The Census Bureau estimates population sizes every year, and while it's not always 100% accurate, they base their estimates on births, deaths, and migration. Many people who commute to work in the city of Boulder cite high housing costs as a reason for living outside of city limits. For KGNU, I'm Kiara DeMurray.
Federal officials from the Bureau of Land Management will not back down about rounding up wild Mustangs across northwestern Colorado. Despite protests, an official plea from Governor Polis and the death of more than 145 horses last month from an outbreak of equine flu, the BLM announced they will transport the Mustangs this week, about 3 months earlier than planned. According to the BLM, the public land where the horses will live in East Douglas has a capacity for around 235 horses. It's currently filled with more than 1,300. The BLM has not responded to multiple pleas from Governor Polis and other state officials to pause the roundup until they have determined a more humane method to manage the animals. Previous plans had this stage of roundup slated for August. The BLM says they decided to start early because horses have come out of the winter months so malnourished. Expect sunny weather all throughout the Front Range today as temperatures stay moderately high. In Boulder, a high of 91 and a low of 61. In Fort Collins, a high of 93 and a low of 60. In Denver, a high of 94 and a low of 63. Outside the Boulder studios, 58 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You're listening to the Morning Magazine on KGNU. The Boulder Jewish Community Center has a packed calendar of events this month. Tonight, the JCC will feature an in-person screening of local filmmaker Katrina Miller's award-winning documentary, This Is Not Who We Are. Last weekend, the JCC organized a cultural arts festival that wove together traditional African-American gospels with Jewish klezmer music. KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Better spoke with Jonathan Lev, executive director of the Boulder JCC.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Lev, executive director at the Boulder JCC, and we're here at the Boulder Jewish Festival, standing right by the fountain in front of the courthouse on Pearl Street. And we're here with hundreds of people, thousands of people right now, celebrating the Jewish community, Jewish culture, and bringing food and art and music and all of the things that make this community so special to all of Boulder and beyond.
It's a really special celebration today because it's a in-person celebration after years of not being able to do this. But today you're bringing music that is extremely unique. Can you please speak about this coming together of different genres, of different ethnicities?
Part of what makes the Boulder Jewish community special is the fact that it is intersectional. And there are many different ways in which the community is able to come together and celebrate. And one of those is through music. And the coming together of gospel and klezmer and other things is just a testament to the kind of place that we want to create, of that intersectionality of the Jewish community along with all of the other communities, especially on a day like today where we're celebrating Pride and the Boulder Jewish Festival together at the same time. This is exactly what we want to be happening in Boulder, and to come together as one community but celebrate all of the uniqueness and the unique separate communities, but come together to be able to do it.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Lev. He's the director of the JCC here in Boulder, and we are at the Jewish Festival. And it is so timely what you are just expressing to me, this coming together to celebrate diversity. The increase of hate crimes for the Jewish community has increased, especially in Denver, we know about that. So is there a reflection that you would like to give us?
I think inherently we live in a lonely time. And when we hear about things that are happening to our community or to other communities, we inherently have to reflect on ourselves and think about how we can come together and unite. At the same time, that doesn't mean that we forget about what's happening, and we have to be active and acknowledge and come together to be able to make a difference and stop hate in our community and work together to be able to make that possible. In all the different ways that the different communities are separate, we really need to actually think about how we're supporting one another, especially in hard times where there is hate, especially here in Boulder, against any of our marginalized communities. And we have an opportunity to be able to make a difference and change. But we can't avoid the fact that this stuff is happening right now. And it's a hard time. And we have to acknowledge that while also being able to provide ways to be able to come together and unite.
Is there something else that you would like to add? Maybe how can people connect to the wider community?
So I can speak specifically about the Boulder JCC and the ways in which we've brought together many different people. We host events for every single major nonprofit in Boulder and the community, and we're bringing connections while also doing our own programming. And there's opportunities for people to be able to engage with the Jewish community and beyond through the Boulder JCC and connect to all the organizations who are here and the community in general. Because just like you were talking about hate being present in our community, the only way we can stop things like that happening is getting to know one another, building those relationships and building those ties. So I encourage everyone to be able to reach out, connect to the Boulder JCC or another Jewish organization, and see where you can plug in and learn more about who we are and who this community is so we can celebrate together.
Thank you so much. That was Jonathan Lev. He's the executive director of the JCC in Boulder. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better. Thank you so much.
And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hannah Lee Myers, and as always, I'm joined by cannabis correspondent Leland Rucker. Leland, thank you so much for being here.
Always good to be here.
So you went to a conference and brought back some interesting information for us about what you learned. Fill us in here.
Yeah, this conference was, it's called the Patients Out of Time Conference. It was in Kansas City, Missouri over the weekend, and it was just medical doctors and nurses giving presentations about the endocannabinoid system and how cannabis comes into play with it. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that cannabis or whatever is in cannabis. It's been used to treat symptoms of human illnesses, disorders, diseases. In many cultures for centuries, people have been using it. And, you know, it was a standard pharmaceutical product in the United States back in the late 19th and early 20th century. And today, you know, after decades of lies from the government, depictions of people who are stoners, we find ordinary people are using cannabis for pain, arthritis, muscle relief, working out, and surprise, just to relax. And cannabinoids, they're chemical compounds that are found in cannabis plants. There's found more than 100 so far. There's only a few that we actually know too much about. But for the most part, no other plant accumulates these quite like cannabis does. And it provides the cannabis plant with everything from pest resistance, relief from UV rays, things like that. And the most recognized are, of course, THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, known for its psychoactive properties, and cannabidiol, which is CBD. And that's recognized generally for medical applications. And those are called phytocannabinoids because they're outside. And scientists have also discovered, when I first read about this, I thought, this is nuts. But they discovered that our body creates cannabinoids and produces those naturally in the body, and they're called endocannabinoids. And they have structures similar to the cannabinoids that are outside of our bodies. There's two so far, anandamide and 2-AG. And then scientists found that there's receptors in all mammals that respond to cannabinoids. Amazing. Just CBD1 receptors are found in the brain. CBD2 receptors are found throughout the body. These are part of our entire system to help our system stay in balance. The endocannabinoids hook up with these receptors. In biochemistry, they call it the lock and key model, where the cannabinoid molecules act like keys that fit into the CB receptors, which are locks. When the CB receptor is unlocked by a particular cannabinoid, it changes its shape, and how it changes shape determines how it regulates cell signaling. And it sounds complex, but it's really just basically a system in our body to keep us in balance.
Super interesting stuff. Deep science there. A lot for doctors to work on. I mean,
yeah, it was interesting to hear doctors and nurses talk about the kinds of things that they're doing. And, you know, I learned that CBD has nothing to do with these receptors. That's THC that touches into these receptors. And again, doctors are just trying to find out more. They really just want data so they can work with it and find out more about how this works. More than anything, the conference kind of reminded me that we're bombarded by headlines. You know, this research says, a new study found, and events like these kind of helped me at least distill much of that and made the points a little bit easier to understand, mostly because the presenters are the people who are actually involved in this research and involved in trying to get these kind of answers. You know, it's just medical marijuana that's legal in Missouri right now, but they have a recreational initiative coming up in November, and I have no doubt that it's going to pass. There's also a lot of talk about the future of medical marijuana, and we've had that conversation here in Colorado, and as the market diminishes somewhat, there's been talk of, you know, maybe getting rid of medical marijuana. And this is just another point that shows that cannabis is yeah, it's a way to get high, there's no doubt about that, but there's also a lot of medical possibilities in what they were talking about. There was one that talked about cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. And this is this one, I've been reading about it for years, that certain people, they develop vomiting and intestinal problems every time they smoke marijuana, and it's usually from heavy users. So the general thought was, well, it's the heavy use of cannabis that's causing the hyperemesis syndrome. But what they're finding out is that it's just a certain number of people who are affected because of a certain gene that they have. I even spoke with someone who said he doesn't use cannabis because of hyperemesis syndrome. So, you know, this was just a way to get a little bit better information about what's going on. And, you know, I'll admit there was definitely a bit of preaching to the choir. Nobody there was not supportive of medical marijuana. There was a lot of doctors and nurses there. There was even a course that you could take and get credit for. But it showed once again that slowly but surely, we're getting rid of the stigma that's followed pot in the United States since the 1930s.
And it's good for you to remind us that we're often seeking that oversimplification of things in headlines, and that really, just because an issue is complex, for example, trying to find what value or issues exist with cannabis that is a complex issue, does not mean that there's not value to be had in it because it's complex. It doesn't need to be simple for it to be valuable or worthwhile. And I think that could be difficult for people to understand right now when they're not getting super simple answers. But these very complex scientific explanations, but not a whole lot of answers right yet.
No, and what I found out is that these doctors and nurses are looking for those answers. You know, they just want the data so they can find out how this all works.
Well, Leland, we'll be patient with you, and we'll tune in here the first and third Thursday of every month to get a little bit more information. Leland, thank you so much, as always, for keeping us in the loop.
Thanks.
For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.
When you hear the sound of Cab Calloway, you know John Ludendorff is in the house to update us on food news, upcoming food events, and things worth tasting this week in Boulder and beyond.
Good morning, Alexis. Nice to have you aboard. And welcome, everybody else, to the giant KGNU kitchen table. Gather around. We're going to catch you up on a whole bunch of really interesting local food news, starting with the fact that, you know, it wasn't that many years ago vegan food was really, you know, a rare thing to find.
Yeah.
Tonight at the Rayback Collective, they're going to have a big food truck gathering, but it's all vegan, and it includes vegan ice cream, vegan desserts. So it should be fun.
Sounds fun. So the Boulder Valley School District is providing free weekday meals to all children without charge through July 28, with the exception of the week of July 1st or 4th. Can you tell us about that program?
It's a continuation of what they've been doing the past few years during the pandemic, because these food needs don't end when the school day's over or when school isn't in session. So I'm really glad that the school district is able to continue doing this.
Yeah, because didn't the state funding stop? So this is a city.
Yeah, initiative. There also was a program to deliver food to homes, and that's in danger. And this is very important. So
yeah.
I also wanted to mention that in Arvada, there's a brewery called Luki. I think it's pronounced that way, L-U-K-I. They're having a spent grain bake-off. If you don't know about brewing, basically they make hot cereal. They take barley, wheat, corn, rice, other things, and they cook it in a big pot with water. And then they drain the water off and use that to brew with. But what do you do with the rest of it? A lot of times it gets fed to pigs or just thrown away. And so they're having a bake-off, and you can go down there and get a gallon bag of this grain and then turn it into bread or a nut bread, something else, or dog treats. And you can find details. It's June 30th. And go to lukibrew.com.
Cool. That sounds fun. So another thing is Bojo's Pizzeria in Longmont has closed. The Boulder location closed a couple years ago. Two Denver dining institutions have also closed.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, Bojo's is a famous Colorado institution, mostly in Idaho Springs, but they had expanded here, and now the Longmont closing follows the Boulder closing. So many factors involved, including the pandemic, competition, and other things. There are two places that have been around forever since I was a dining critic. Annie's Cafe, wonderful breakfast place in Denver. They used to have a jar of peanut butter on every table. In the Bonnie Bray Tavern, which was a very cool pizza place, but, you know, times change.
Yeah, it seems like there was a lot of, the pandemic was such a reckoning. Yeah.
And I don't know whether you know this, but I'm into pie. And there's a pie and a cake contest in Jamestown on the 4th of July, fruit, berry, and nut. So I'm encouraging all of you to enter by June 27th. To celebrate the 4th up there. If you want to enter the pie competition, call Lenny Middledorf. It's 303-444-0419.
What's your favorite pie?
You know, I always say wild blueberry because that's what I grew up with, but my friend Charlie Papazian always said the pie in front of me.
Oh, I know that you brought, or one of your guests brought in a delicious strawberry rhubarb pie.
You know, I would have some of that right now.
Rhubarb is my favorite. So after a two-year pandemic hiatus, the 2022 James Beard Awards were announced in the Best Chef Mountain category. The winner was Chef Caroline Glover.
Yay.
And of Annette Restaurant in Aurora. Denver author Adrian Miller was honored with his second James Beard Award for his book Black Smoke, African Americans, and the United States of Barbecue.
Very excited about both of those. You know, you need to get out to the markets and the farm stands because there's a lot of crops starting to come in. You know, it's not quite full blast season, but right now you can get bok choy, eggplant, garlic scapes. You know what a garlic scape is?
No, what's that?
It's like when garlic first grows, it sends out this long green thing that has a very mild garlic taste. And those normally just die off, but you can harvest them and use them to make pesto and other things. So there's a lot of that. Also, I'm assembling a very cool guide to the roadside farm stands, not the markets, the little places by the side of the road in Boulder County and beyond. So if you can send me info about that, if you know of a little spot you love, nibbles@boulderweekly.com.
That sounds really fun. I hope that you share that on our website.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's in today's Boulder Weekly food pages?
You know, since I've got here, I've loved the Gold Hill Inn. They're celebrating their 60th anniversary. So in my column today in the Boulder Weekly, I talk about what life was like in 1962 when the Gold Hill Inn opened, and it's still going strong.
That sounds interesting. I'll have to read it. And then what is the best thing you've eaten this week?
I had some, people make fun of quiche, and I write about that also this week, but the quiche at Jeannot's Patisserie and Bistro in Lafayette is just extraordinary.
You can listen to past Radio Nibbles and this episode at news.kgnu.org and read John Lendorf's column at boulderweekly.com. John, keep cool, but keep on cooking.
Bon appetit.
Pasta fazula, Tallulah. Oh, do have a bagel, bagel. Now don't be so bashful, Nashville. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. There, you get the cherry, Jerry. Now don't be so
bashful. And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Alexis Kenyon. Special thanks to Christian Getabai, Jimmy Sirfas, Nate Merrill, James Swenson, Luis Licon, Kiara DiMari, Rosanna Longobetter, Hannah Lee Myers, Leland Rucker, Shannon Young, and John Lendorf for all of their help today. Stay tuned for Trends with Rosanna Longobetter. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.